in the night. Your heart fills with dread, probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It's Friday, October 25th, and not to be too forward, it's the Friday before my birthday on Monday. So shop now. Celebrate this whole weekend.
Yeah. And also, less important, but Halloween. And
yes,
I can't
indeed believe
it is almost here. I gotta be honest. I feel like I've let everyone down, including myself this year. I've kind of mailed it in with the spooky season, and I don't know what it is, but I feel like a lot of my friends are in the same boat.
Yes.
So if you're in that boat too, and one of mine is because it's too fucking hot here to
also
pretend
that,
like it's Halloween or fall, but also, you know, it's a hellscape of a time right
yes.
now. Am I right? So it's been... It's been hard to, like, for me to separate and get in the mood of the holiday season. So after we record, I was like, I am going to put out these Halloween decorations. We have one more week. I'm hoping it gets me in the spirit. But all that to say, if you're feeling the same way, that's all right. I am too.
It's not just you too. You told me that. I've mentioned to some other friends. We have some lights up for Halloween-ish,
mm-hmm.
but I have two inflatables. I still haven't put up. I'm like, I got to do it. But I think a lot of people are in the same boat of like, I'm sort of distracted by gestures around wildly to the literal entire world being horribly on fire and terrible. And so it's like, well, I don't want to make my life scarier than it already is.
Right.
So I said, I'm saving it all up for the Christmas season. Maybe I'll go extra Grinchy, put my Grinch out, put like more lights on and stuff than I normally do. Pull out the Festivus pole that inflates in my yard. It looks like a big dick.
I mean, honestly, the Festivus pole is what we need. I have a lot of grievances I would like to let everybody know about.
But to air all of our grievances the fuck out. Well, yeah, Halloween is it's coming up, and that is a day to mark on your calendar for two reasons. One, trick-or-treating, pumpkins, etc. Two, that is when our full moon energy show is going to leave Moment on demand. So if you want to watch it on demand, on Moment, you got to do it now before October 31st. And that's also the only way the exclusive Man Bat tee is available on there, is that you do have to buy the Moment and then you have access to get the Man Bat tee. So head over to moment.co/sinisterhood from now until Halloween. And that's actually a good like Halloween night thing to do. If you're
mm-hmm.
like, oh, I want to watch something, it has everything.
It does. Thank you to everyone that came out to our final show of our Full Moon Energy Tour at the Texas Theater. It was such a great show. What a great crowd. The kids
mm-hmm.
got to come on stage.
Mm-hmm.
They really loved that. Heather's mom made the most incredible denim duster / cape.
Yes.
And by proxy, I am now the proud and honored recipient of the most incredible denim biker gang jacket I've ever received.
We're the Full Moon Energy
Thank
gang.
Thank you to Heather and Nancy for that one.
Yes, and my niece, my 7-year-old niece, also had a hand in it, and choosing where the patches went and stuff. So
she
thanks
did
to
fabulous.
Everybody. Thank you very much. And thanks to everybody that was there in person and to everybody that watched on the Moment on demand.
Mm-hmm.
We had like over 1,000 people tuning in the chat, chatting with each other. So make sure to check that out at moment.co/sinisterhood before it is gone.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one ties in very nicely to our most recent episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Robert, and it is called My Trip to Castle Bran. Hello, I just finished listening to episode 313, The Transformation of Dracula. I was working in Romania last year and had a couple of free days, so I decided to visit Castle Bran. I wanted to visit the actual site of Vlad Dracov, but it is unfortunately closed to the public. It was also several hours further away, so I didn't have the time. The little village is about 4 hours north of Bucharest and is definitely a tourist trap. The drive there goes through some beautiful mountainous country, so it was well worth the time. The castle has been turned into a museum that is a mix of history and fantasy. There are several rooms that give a history of the castle and others that give a history of vampires, werewolves, dragons, and such. For an extra fee, you can visit a section of the castle that shows different medieval torture devices. Some of the exhibits were very graphic, so I definitely wouldn't recommend it for kids. For another extra fee, there is an elevator with a large video screen showing dragons, skeletons, and other creepy stuff that will dump you out into the gift shop. Outside of the entrance to the castle grounds are several small stands with souvenirs and food. There is even a haunted house that I assume is open all year long. I was there in June. I've attached, probably too many, pictures of the castle and the surrounding grounds. If you get the chance, I would definitely recommend it. From what I experienced, the Romanian people were very friendly and the country was gorgeous. Stay safe and keep it creepy, Robert.
Well, I appreciate a castle that is dedicated to accuracy and history. So they have the dragon skeletons.
Yes, they're and real. That, I mean, that is what really stood out to me here is they have dragon skeletons. There's even an elevator that, much like, you know, when you're going down the earth and there's fossils, I am imagining they're showing you like, and this is the lair where the dragon was buried. So I'm glad that they're very historical and accurate. Robert, I don't think you sent too many pictures at all. I'm always fascinated to see firsthand accounts when our listeners go to places like this. And man, it is breathtaking.
Yeah, it's what I imagined it. I did recall after we recorded that episode, I had spoken with a young lady in Chicago. She was like a friend of a friend, and she was originally from Romania. And for whatever reason, we got on talking about the Bran Castle. And she was telling me that she went when there was some sort of haunted house. Now, this conversation between she and I would have been, oh boy, I bet you, what year is it? 2024. This would have had to have been 2013 or earlier. So over a decade ago. And she had gone probably, you know, 10 years before that. So this could have been early 2000s. But from what I recall, she was chased and attacked during, like, and it's part of it. It was like, I go, they just grab you? And she's like, oh yeah, it makes it really scary. I go, I bet it does.
I bet it does.
It was like,
given the grounds. Yeah. There's, I mean, on one of the many giant hills overlooking the castle, there's a giant cross atop, which, you know, if you're Dracula and you're living there, probably doesn't bode well for you. But it's definitely kind of it's an eerie sight to be like, this is just looming over all of this.
Maybe they put the cross to keep the vampires away from the castle to keep the tourists safe.
Good
like,
point.
We keep
yeah.
on losing all of our customers.
The insides as well. I just got to say, why did we stop living in castles? Do people still live in them? I mean, I know like the royals and shit, but like other people, do they live in castles?
I live in about a 1900 square foot house and it is costly to heat and air condition in it. So that's where I'm sticking with my single family dwelling. But I agree from an aesthetic perspective, the castle wins every single time. Mm-hmm. I have no dramatic staircases. I don't have a secret lair beneath my home, although I'd like one, probably not with the Texas soil, and no turrets. What the fuck? What am I even living in some dumb house that looks like a drawing a kid made?
Do you have a cannon that you can shoot off through a window?
You know what? Of all the things in my house, it's honestly shocking I don't have a cannon yet. I will probably end up with one.
Or Robert sent several pictures of some of the medieval torture devices that were featured, along with like the plaques of how they were used. And some of them, holy shit, definitely not for kids. Made my stomach turn. Like the things humans can think up to do to other humans is it never ceases to amaze me. Yeah. One of the pictures he sent is of, oh man, a wooden chair of some sort, but it's got wooden spikes coming out of everywhere your body would touch, and your arms appear to be strapped down, as do your feet. So it's just one of the most nightmarish things you can imagine. I think it also might do a little squeezing.
I think so. I think there are little spots that can mash you down. Wherever gravity isn't pushing you, I think that it is made to push and add external pressure. But you're right. What I think about when I see devices like this, initially, obviously, that a person or multiple people had to sit in it. But one of the really eerie parts about it is like they didn't have, you know, mechanisms with which to make many things back then. So someone like hand malleted those little pegs in and put the brackets down and screwed in and like and knowing that that's what it was going to be used for. And mm-hmm. that's just some artisan, you know, I don't know that necessarily was like, I'm going to make an evil chair. It was like, I make chairs and I've been asked by this torture person to make a chair. So I'm going to do it. It's like, I can't believe you're taking that job, Larry. And he's like, I got to feed this family, Kate. So, that, you know, I don't really ascribe negativity, I think, to people that were also oppressed back then that made them. But you think about, man, that was someone hand inserted every one of those pegs that were meant to stab a fellow human.
Yes, they did. And there's no shortage of other things that they also handmade. The There's a picture of some weapons that were used. Again, it's just always is jaw-dropping to me that given the amount of tools and stuff they had, that they really went as hard as possible. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like, what's the hardest way we could fuck somebody up? Everybody, no bad ideas. Everybody just throw out the worst way you could hurt somebody. And we're going to take all of those and we're going to make the weapons that do that.
You're right. The way that they could inflict as much pain and suffering as they did with the, and they don't even have the amount of engineering knowledge that we have now.
Yeah.
Although, as we, in this Wednesday's episode that y'all just heard, you know, we talk about kind of seeing Trans-Allegheny from 100 years ago to now and like, oh, how barbaric. But if you really think about it, you know, I wonder in 100 years, people look at our prisons and go, oh, how barbaric, you know.
True. What nuclear were you thinking? Missiles.
Yeah. Right. Or any missiles. Yeah. That we send out. So it's like, how barbaric. Right. But we think, well, that's just part of, I think that's why we study history. Right. And study things like Bran Castle and Vlad Dracul to be like, oh, that's not anything new, unfortunately.
No, no. And people will say, look at this chair. Can you imagine, myself included, can you imagine that people used to do this to others? I mean, it's not better than what we are doing now. It's just different. Right. And like we said in that other episode, this was way more personal because they didn't have the technology to just send a bomb over and obliterate an entire country. This was more face-to-face, personal, however, still destructive. Yeah. Maybe less so because
it's harder
they didn't have the technology to wipe out, you know, an entire place in one fell swoop.
Yeah, no, it's it definitely it makes you consider the atrocities that man is willing to commit against his fellow man in whatever capacity. But thank you for sending those pictures, Robert, because stuff like this, like perhaps someday, I hope that we will end up in or near Bucharest, that we could take the ride. But this is such an instant gratification that we just talked about it. And now we get to go. As my mama always say, you made me feel like I was there. So
truly,
thank you.
I could look at pictures online or their website, but I like a first hand account, you know, where it's like, these are the types of pictures I would take. So they're very compelling, and we'll share some of those on our socials too. Man, that bed, yowzers.
Yowzers.
I like it. Looks uncomfortable.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The woodwork, again, all handmade. Just, it's incredible. Like, craftsmanship that went on back then.
You give me a good looking four poster bed like that and put a Helix mattress on it, I'm unstoppable. Good creepy. I'm just saying.
Y'all don't even know. November 19th, everything is about to change for me.
It's what?
I'm like a phoenix rising from the ashes. Oh, Pluto is leaving finally. And you guys, it's been since 2008. The Capricorns have been living under the oppressive Pluto. And Tommy and I got together in 2010. And last night, he was like, at dinner, said, I've only known Pluto mommy, but I'm about to know non-Pluto mommy. I was like, you bitches don't even know what you're in store for.
After you told me that, I asked ChatGPT. I was like, hey, Charlie, that's what mine's called. I go, hey, Charlie, what's up with this Pluto moving the moon out of Capricorn? What's it mean to a Scorpio like me? And the fact that I can ask a question and it's like, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, what should I Google to find an astrologer and hear more information? It's like, you could try searching, da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, thank you. I will go do my own research. But I also like to just be like, hey, am I supposed to worry about this?
What was the answer?
She said, in general, you know, she said, you can see it as a, I can find it, but she was saying something like, some people might see it as good news, but what you could see it as a time for transformation, leaving stuff behind that you don't want anymore and like being very intentional about. I am not a person that is like, oh, this moon is moving here. It's fixing to fuck me up. I'm like, how am I going to take this shit and harness it for myself? I will not be turned by the moon.
I will not be beat.
I'll conquer this fucking Pluto. Moon. I'll put a train up there, bitch. I'll show you. So, I was at least calmed a little bit by my ChatGPT being like, don't freak out. You're fine. You'll figure it out.
I am only choosing to watch TikToks that are like, we are about to do it.
Let's do it.
Capricorns, you have no idea because it's making me feel better about just my whole, I feel like this is going to cure my depression. So, you know, every problem I've ever had, just going to go out the window.
I was doing this because aren't Capricorn? No, that's horns. Do you have horns? Rams.
We're rams.
Rams.
Goats.
I was like,
we're goats.
They're goats.
The
that's
greatest
me ramming.
Of all time, Heather. Is that ramming. Your ramming?
That's my ram.
That, yeah, I mean, yeah, those do look like ram horns ramming me. So that's what I'm going to be doing. Oh, man. Well, shout out to all my fellow Caps.
Hell
and
yeah.
There are some other signs, too. But Capricorns are really going to have just for the next 20 years. Pluto is moving into Aquarius. My husband's an Aquarius, so
can I briefly, we'll just a quick aside, when you said the last time was when? That it was the moon was in this place it was supposed to be.
It's been in Capricorn's house since 2008,
and from 2008 back. So I just recently said a crazy thing to our friend Victoria when we were shopping. I go, "This is not going to make any sense." But the late 70s and when I was in middle school and now all feel like the same time. And she went, "Oh, okay." And I was like, "Well, you're not quite as old as me." But I was like, I can't explain it, but I wonder if it's all like the moon is in that certain Aquarius house or something. But I was like, it's starting to feel middle schoolish again. In middle school, I was like, it feels like the 70s. What did I know really though? But I wonder if it's like the cyclical nature of our world that we live in.
The 70s that you did not live in. So that's even more interesting that it feels the same.
In this timeline, I didn't remember that, but in other times.
What about the feeling makes, what, like nostalgia? Because I haven't had that feeling, so I'm very interested in this.
It's like the clothes, the attitudes that people have. There's a lot of like hip hugger, bell bottom looking, large wide pants. A lot of stuff about like, why are you even worried about it, man? Like, and I think it also might just come from like, you know, decades of war, you know, and then like it starts
yeah,
this. Because in both of those plays, we were like at that point of the Vietnam War. And when I was in seventh grade, like, get at that place with coming out of the Gulf War. So I don't know. But it could just be that fourth turning book I told you I started reading, where it's just sort of about history events. So like maybe I'm feeling that I was like, I don't know. It just seems like, it seems 70s-ish
well,
and 2000s-ish.
Let's get back to those times because they were a simpler time, weren't they?
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Well, this next one's from Josie, and it is called How I Avoided a Hotel Attack, a Close Call and Warning for Solo Travelers. Hi, ladies. I've been debating whether or not to share this, but I hope my experience might help someone else avoid a similar situation. A few years ago, I had to travel from the West Coast to New York for a work meeting. I was scheduled to arrive late due to the time difference and long flight, so I missed the team's welcome dinner that evening. One of my colleagues kindly offered to skip the group dinner and meet me at the hotel for a meal instead. When I arrived at the hotel, I was running late and feeling a bit rushed. After checking in, I hurried toward the elevators, juggling my bags while calling my colleague to let her know I'd arrived. In my rush, I slipped near the elevators and fell. Embarrassed and flustered, I was just getting back on my feet when a man suddenly appeared, grabbing my elbow to help me up. He looked to be in his 30s, attractive, with dark hair, a neat beard, jeans, and a leather jacket. I hadn't noticed him before, but he must have been standing nearby. Still on the phone with my colleague, I got into the elevator, hit the button for my floor, and the man stepped in with me. Distracted, I told my colleague that I'd drop off my bags and meet her in the lobby soon. Facing the elevator doors, I barely noticed the man standing much too close, facing me directly. I brushed off the discomfort. When I got to my floor, I hung up the call and stepped out, looking for my room. The layout of the floor was a horseshoe shape. Just to the left of the elevator was a wall, so I turned to the right and followed the corridor. My room was at the far end of the U-shaped hallway. As I was about to unlock my door, I glanced down the hallway and saw the same man from the elevator casually walking down the hallway toward me. My instincts immediately kicked in. Something felt off. I stared him directly in the eyes and said, "Hello." He nodded and walked past me. Feeling unsettled, I quickly stepped into my room, shut the door, and told myself I was just overreacting. I freshened up, grabbed my purse, and prepared to head to the lobby. But before I opened the door, something made me stop. I looked through the peephole and didn't see anyone, but I couldn't shake the feeling that something wasn't right. Cautiously, I stepped out of the room. Shutting the door, I looked up, and to my horror, I saw the man walking down the hallway again, toward me. That's when I realized my room was the last one in the hall. Beyond it, there was nothing but a dead end. He had no reason to be there. He had likely been hoping to catch me when I first arrived at my room, and now he was hoping for a second chance after overhearing my conversation in the elevator that I would be coming back out of the room very soon. Thinking quickly, I pulled out my phone and started talking loudly, pretending to be on a call. I said, "I'm in the hallway now, heading to the elevator. See you in a minute." As soon as I reached the lobby, I went straight to the front desk and demanded a new room. Unfortunately, the security guard was dismissive, acting as if I was overreacting. I did get a new room, but it wasn't until later that the reality of the close call truly sank in. I had allowed that man to follow me to my room. I was distracted and had unknowingly given him all the information he needed. I pressed the button for my floor, and he overheard my conversation about coming back down to the lobby soon. Looking back, I have no doubt this is part of his routine. Manhattan is massive, with countless hotels, and I suspect he preys on women this way regularly, taking advantage of travelers who are tired or distracted. I'm sure his MO is to push women into their rooms just as they unknowingly unlock their doors, attack them, and leave without anyone being the wiser. Now when I travel alone, I'm much more cautious. If I get on an elevator with someone, I make it a point to ask which floor they need before pressing the button for mine. I'm also careful about having conversations around strangers, especially when discussing my location or plans. I have no doubt that the man from that night has targeted many other women, and I hope that by sharing my story, I can help prevent someone else from becoming a victim. Love you both, Josie.
Josie, I think you did the right thing to ask for another room. I think it is a ongoing issue. I think it was about a year ago, the New York Times did a whole rundown of like crimes in hotels, particularly crimes against women, just given the nature of like there's so many floors and there's only so many, you know, security guards or whatever. And there have been, I believe it was in Houston a couple of years ago, a lawsuit against a woman who I think a guy asked for a key to her room and the front desk person was like, okay. Like, you know, it's like, oh, my girlfriend, like once say he knew your room was 325 and he just goes down and goes, hey, my girlfriend's in 325. Can I get a key card to surprise her? And they're like, sure, God help you, don't do that. Dude. But you're right. Just I think being cognizant of like not saying information that would lead to them being able to find you is like sadly something we have to be aware of.
Yeah. I don't want you to kick yourself, Josie. Like that you allowed him to follow you. That was his choice. You didn't allow anything. Did he take advantage of the situation? That's what it sure sounds like, especially if there's no reason for him to be at the end of that hallway. It's unfortunate, yeah, that we do have to be aware of that, but it's a good reminder that we do have to be aware of that because how often we are traveling and just in a hurry in our own world on our phones, myself included. And you kind of forget that like everybody around you can hear you. And you know, I mean, if they, it's also a time when you are distracted and that's a time when a lot of predators prey on women. So I never thought about asking someone else for their room number for their floor first, pressing it, you know, and then like, maybe if you have a weird feeling, they're like, oh, seven. You're like, oh, okay. I'm 21.
Yeah, just pick
and, you know,
one.
They get off at seven and you're like, I'm trying to mess around with that no matter where you are. But that's a good lesson and just a good reminder for everyone to be aware of your surroundings and stuff that we don't think about, like being on your phone and maybe giving away information is something that we do need to consider.
No, you're right. I mean, even when we're on tour, if I go downstairs and get like a drink from the lobby and be like, can you charge it to my room? And they're like, what room are you in? I'm like, 325.
Yeah.
I'm not like 325, you know, and it wasn't until I said it and I was like, there are people in the lobby. And then I thought every time I say it, I've got to be very quiet. Or even when we're checking in, I'm always like, you don't have to say out loud what my room number is. You write it on the paper, slide it across the desk. Totally fine with me. And just, it is something to be aware of. At the, let's say, best case scenario, this guy just wanted to ask you on a date. Don't fucking follow a woman up the elevator, you absolute weirdo.
No.
If you help somebody up and you're like, wow, she was so pretty, maybe I'll ask her out. Maybe wait in the lobby, maybe. But maybe. Even that, it's like, if you have business in the lobby and you're staying there and you're like, well, man, I'm going to stay down here. Maybe that pretty girl will come back and maybe I can say hi. Totally. What? That's the way the world works. If she's into talking to you, but following someone up to their room and wandering up and down their hotel room and getting all weird. I always just try to anticipate a manosphere kind of argument. Like, look, I wasn't even doing anything. That's what I said. Best case scenario. If he had the kindest of intentions, which is you fell down. I thought you were very pretty. I wanted to ask you out. This is not the way to do it, fellas. Don't ever follow us ever. It isn't completely unnerving. I mean,
also,
it really
don't
does.
Just touch somebody without asking them. You could go up to her and say, oh my gosh, do you need help?
Yeah.
Instead of just immediately putting your hand on someone and helping them up, which kind of is this implication of, oh, well, he helped me, so he must be nice. And so therefore I need to be nice back. Unfortunate for him, I think being on your phone was actually probably a good thing because he wasn't getting the attention from you that he thought he might by, you know, helping you up. But yeah, being on the floor, there's no reason for that. Like we always say, trust your gut. If there's a reason, even if you're like, I don't know why I feel this way, but I feel like something weird's going on, just take a minute, you know? Your friend's still going to be in the lobby. Dinner can wait. Like, safety first, always.
But I would echo what Christy said, Josie. You don't feel bad at all. Mm-mm. We've all been in that moment and everything. And the only person at fault here is the predator that is following you.
For sure.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Well, this next one is from Bree, and it's called, Dude, Go Away, I'm Peeing. Hey, ladies, first time writing in. I figured it was about time since I have had some strange, unusual, and even sometimes ridiculous stories throughout my life. I want to thank you for letting us all get our spook off our chest and letting us know we are not alone in this crazy world. You two can turn around anyone's day. This one isn't too wild of a story, but still gives me goosebumps every time I think about it, and every time I pee outside at night. Okay, it's not a regular occurrence. I do have a working bathroom at my home. I just camp and hike a lot, so it's bound to happen. Anyway, I grew up in small town Minnesota, in the middle of Lakes Country, as we call it. It's a beautiful part of the world, but also mysterious, especially at night. No big city lights. Lots of trees, lakes, and rivers. You can drive about 5 miles out of any town and be in complete black, other than the moon and stars. Naturally, as a high schooler, one hobby was to cruise the back roads on the weekends. The town I lived in was about 5 miles from a state park, and in the fall, like right now, all the leaves are changing, and it is truly a sight to be seen. So one fall Saturday night in my 10th or 11th grade year, me and a few friends jumped in a car and decided we would get in one last state park cruise before all the leaves fell. All was fine until my friend who was driving suggested we go to the old cemetery that was in the park. It was next to a church that was built in 1901 by immigrants, and it had the graves to prove it. Most were embedded plaques in the ground, old and a bit overgrown. I wasn't so much into ghosts and spooks back then, but I still got out of the car and we all went exploring as the sun was setting, trying to find which grave was the oldest. After about 5 minutes, I looked up at the church, and I shit you not, there was a young girl, maybe 10 years old, with a white bonnet and white dress on, standing in the window watching us curiously. I was so spooked that I stared back at her for a second, frozen, then jetted to the car without even saying anything. Once in the car, probably cracked a Zima or a Boone's Farm Snow Creek berry bottle. It was early 2000s and I was a teen, okay? And waited for my friends to return. No one else claimed they saw anything, but they all did feel watched. So same night, fast forward about 20 minutes, we were driving again through the heavily wooded roads when I mentioned I had to hop out to pee. I was very relieved when one of my guy friends, we'll call him A, said he too also had to pee, so I wouldn't be out there all alone. The driver stopped in the middle of the dark dirt road, and we hopped out. I went to the left, about 10 feet into the woods. A went to the right and said, see you in a sec. Almost immediately after I was squatted and ready, I heard slow footsteps right behind me. I said quietly, "Dude, not funny. I'm peeing. Go away." As they seemed to get closer, I turned around and there was nothing there. Not a, not a deer, nothing. I booked it to the car, just as I saw A running up to the car too. He said he thought I was slowly walking behind him to scare him, and when he turned around, no one was there. What the fuck? Of course, our friends just thought we were tipsy, you know, from that tasty Boone's farm, and it was probably just a raccoon or something. No, it wasn't. It was human footsteps. It was a feeling of being watched. Since then, I've only been back to that cemetery once, last summer, to show my husband and kids the window I saw the little girl in. But it was a sunny summer Sunday, and there were tons of people there getting ready for their once-a-week mass, so they didn't really get the spookiness of the whole situation. Anyway, the park is still my regular local hiking destination, and I have not felt any strange presences there much since high school. But it does happen here and there. On a side note, speaking of cemeteries, when I was a third grader, I lived in a bigger city before we moved to the small town in the early teens. One of our field trips was a walk to a nearby cemetery. We each had a big piece of paper and crayons and had to walk around the cemetery and use the raised letters on the graves to trace our name. Even as a kid, I felt that was super strange. I attached a pic of the church then and now, couldn't find one of the cemetery. It was the window closest to the front on the right side of the building. Thanks for listening to my ramblings, and I'm sure there will be many more to come. Keep doing what you're doing, gals. With love, respect, and spook, your sinister sister over the airwaves, Bree.
Well, the little building that Bree sent us a picture of, if I saw a face come out the side of that, just like hauntingly staring, I would lose it.
The original, and we'll share these on socials, the original pic of the church is eerie in and of itself. The addition, and you can clearly see how it was added onto, like they kept the original structure and just added another part onto it. It's still looks scary, and if there's a cemetery right there and you turn around, there's a kid standing in the window, even if it's a live kid, I'm still booking it back to the car for sure. Absolutely, some Boone's Farm. Mine was Strawberry Hill. So if you're Snow Creek Berry, also Zima's, I remember those as well. What a time that was for alcohol.
Zima commercials. I was like, I want one of those. Mom's like, they're not really for you. I'm like, but everyone looks like they're having so much fun with a Zima. A couple of Zimas deep. Yeah, you're going to start seeing stuff, especially like an old church like that where it just gives a very eerie, like, the type that you're going to see in a horror film where they're like, no one's been at that church in 30 years.
Yeah.
But the what really got me with was the slow human footsteps behind you when you're outside. Because like you said, later on when someone's like, maybe it was a raccoon, I'm like, what raccoon do you know has ever been like, step, step, step? They're also not walking like that.
That is a raccoon that we should all fear because it's the size of a grown person.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it is walking like that, it's probably got a mallet up over its head like a Looney Tune and it's going to bash you. Like, you can't expect a normal raccoon to walk like that. So, no, it is – that is either your friend's playing a trick on him on you, but it sounds like he was just as scared as you were, or more likely something was just checking you out there to see what you were doing.
Or I was going to say another one of their friends playing a trick, but if you turn around and see anything – that's one of the most vulnerable positions when you've got your pants down in the woods, just trying to have a bush wee, as they would call it on Bluey. And like, then you just hear footsteps walking up. Even if it was a friend, then I would still be like, what are you doing? Come on, dude, I'm peeing. Get away. But
no, every time.
Turn around and see nothing.
I hate it. I hate it. If I'm peeing outside, I try to go up against a tree. Because I feel like it's good, like, back leaning. And also, you know, you kind of use it for balance. But I mean, someone could sneak around a tree. Let's be real. But I feel like at least I'm somewhat protected by this.
Yeah. No, that's a good – I like your thinking there. I'm going to have to utilize that. Because usually I avoid trees because it's at night and I'm worried of what's going on. And, you know, the deeper you get where there's up or below, you know, I don't know what's rustling around down there. But – I think that the next time, because camping trips are always happening, I'm going to use the tree as a little
backstop. A lean-to. Yeah. Well, very cool church, and we'll share that picture on our Instagram. Thanks for including that. Well, this next one is from Amanda, and the subject line is A Sign from Beyond. Hello, ladies. I want to start off by saying how much I love your show. I look forward to Wednesday and Friday so I can put my headphones on and get lost in the podcast while cleaning my house. I could keep singing your praises, but let's get into it. My grandmother was the most important person in my life. I loved her more than anything else in the world. Even though she was in her 80s, she was sharp as a tack with sassy comments, lived independently, and was always cooking up a feast in true Italian immigrant fashion. She was truly the glue that held our family together. We had a very special bond. I used to visit her at least once a week, and I would take her grocery shopping or just hang out in her kitchen while she cooked and told jokes or funny stories. She was the best. She loved me dearly, too. That was until I started bringing my then boyfriend, now husband, around. I became chopped liver at that point. She loved Daniel. She would light up like a little kid when she saw him or talked about him. If I went over for dinner and he couldn't make it because he was working, she would be so depressed. She even said something along the lines of, "Why bother coming if Daniel wasn't coming too?" When Daniel proposed to me, my grandmother was over the moon. She was so excited for our wedding that she even wanted to start dress shopping before we set a date. She said the only thing she wanted to see before she died was my wedding. Unfortunately, that did not happen. Shortly after I got engaged, we found out she had cancer in her intestines. Despite this horrific news, she was determined to see me walk down the aisle. She made it clear to all her doctors that they had to keep her alive until my wedding. But because life isn't fair, she passed away 6.5 months before we said, "I do." I was devastated. Why did it have to be so close? She made it into her early 80s, relatively healthy, but life had to throw this at her in the last 6 months. Unfair. On the day of my wedding, I was getting my hair and makeup done in the front room of my house. This front room had a big window that overlooked our front yard, our small raised garden bed directly below the window, and a large mature tree right in the middle of our front yard. As I was getting ready, I was standing by the window looking outside when I saw some squirrels running around a tree. I then spotted a hawk overhead circling the squirrels. Great, I thought. I'm going to see these poor little squirrels get eviscerated right before I get married. What a great omen to my wedding day. The hawk did not eat the squirrels, but did something different. It completely ignored the squirrels and landed on the raised garden bed right in front of the window and just sat there. It sat there and looked directly at me through the window. It was watching me. Long enough for me to get over my shock, take out my phone, and snap a picture. This was not normal behavior for a hawk, let alone with the prospect of a meal right behind it. The hawk then proceeded to turn around and fly off. I was stunned, but I instantly knew that was my Nona, my grandmother. She had come to see me on my wedding day after all. Ever since then, hawks have been a comforting symbol for me. I somehow manage to see them flying around when I need them most. On special occasions or when I'm having a tough time, I can rest assured that I will see them. I always say hi to my grandmother because I'm convinced this is her way of being there for me. I've attached a photo of the hawk on my wedding day for you to see. Thanks for having this platform for people to tell their stories, and shout out to my cousin Laura, who I know is listening. Keep it creepy, Amanda. That fucking hawk.
Dude.
It's just eyeballs.
I love when everybody's come through with such great pictures.
Yes.
I love it. And this hawk is, we don't live in a place where a hawk would just land in your front yard usually. No. And you're just looking at it. So we always sound like yokels and we're like, look at that big ass bird just sitting there in the grass. But it is a bird of prey. Yeah. And to ignore some tasty little morsels and just make eye contact with you.
It had a mission.
Your grandmother. It's your Nona.
Nona needed to see the bride in her wedding dress. It was like, I'm not hungry right now. I'll eat the squirrels later. I want to see my bride. I love situations like that where you kind of feel a calming presence or like it's a message from someone. My grandmother, when she was alive, she used to always say, my mamma, she was like, when I die, I want to become a butterfly. Mm. And the amount of times monarch butterflies have like literally flown directly into my face in front of me. If I was in a particularly bad mood, if I'm on a run, sometimes they're around me on my sister's wedding day. She got married on the beach. Her and my dad were doing the first dance. And during her first dance, a monarch butterfly just flew in circles around them while they danced. It was
that's beautiful.
We all just like looked at each other and were like, what is happening? And it was just
that's amazing.
Came and found them. So yeah. Moments like that, I think especially when there's a great amount of emotional energy, something like your wedding day. Your wedding day where she specifically said, I want to be there. And like you said, so close, you know, didn't make it. But to have that energy of like, we wish you were here. We want. And then somehow she managed to fly down.
Well, I Googled, what could a hawk mean as a symbol for deceased loved ones?
Yes.
And pretty much resounding, traditionally, the hawk is seen as a new form of life for someone who died. Part of his or her soul now lives in the hawk. A hawk is considered to be a messenger from the dead by some indigenous peoples, and it symbolizes death and rebirth in many spiritual teachings. So it sounds like there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, like some type of message, if not your actual Nona. But I love to hear about different beliefs across different cultures, because it's at the end of it, it's always us trying to find pieces of comfort, right? So it's like, mm-hmm. if that's not the personification of your Nona, it's a messenger saying like, she's okay. And she wishes she was right. She wished she could be here. And then the hawk can fly back and be like, I saw the wedding. It was beautiful. They wished you were there. Her dress looked great. I saw her through the window. So it's like, I think we can't know as humans, but I think we can be comforted in the not knowing that it is something. You know, it's something even if you don't know what it is.
And if that comforts you, then that's all that matters.
And at the very least, you had a fucking cool hawk show up at your wedding. That thing is cool, I mean, man.
That just alone is a cool wedding story to be like, oh, yeah, well, I got my hair and makeup done with a hawk staring me in the eyes.
Right there. Although that is a funny. That's definitely the thought I would have of like, this hawk's about to fuck these squirrels up and I'm going to have to watch it. I'm going to clean my yard up.
But I would assume that's why it was there because it had been hunting them.
Oh, but I'm glad it was not. Well, thanks, Nona. Mm-hmm. And I hope she did get a snack of some squirrels later on, just not in front of the window. Sinisterhood will be right back. Well, this next one is from Stevie, and the subject line is Elon Musk ruined my birthday. Stevie writes, hello, it's Stevie from Norfolk with the tree perverts again. I have a new tale for you lovely ladies. It was my 31st birthday. After a really shit year, my beautiful husband Jacob and stunningly wonderful best friends Ellie and James surprised me with the best gift ever, a weekend getaway in the wilderness of North Norfolk, UK. They surprised me and our children by whisking us away to this lone log cabin in the depth of an ancient woodland. It was so beautiful and we had an amazing time surrounded by nature. The first night started with an incredible view of the Hunter's Moon. As we were beginning to wind down with our respective children, I wanted to have a little birthday moment to myself, so I popped out the front door to have one last look at the moon. While out there, I was gazing up at the stars and noticed something very odd. Norfolk is famous for its expansive skies because the county is so flat, so there was nothing disturbing my vision. There was a dead, straight line of 10 to 15 stars. They were brighter than all the other stars and lined up in perfect formation with even spacing. They were also moving, traveling across the sky at an eerily smooth speed. Everyone get outside, I yelled through the window. But my friends and family assumed I was just getting excited about the cool moon. It wasn't until I started screaming, UFO! UFO! That they came rushing out. Ellie was the first to make it outside, her inner whimsy driving her to abandon bedtime and her tired children, stumbling out to me in her undies. We clutched each other, trembling with adrenaline as the strange formation silently glided through the stars, looking like a galactic snake. By this point, the men had also come out, trying to explain it away. Well, maybe a plane? Nah, can't be planes. Maybe weird shooting stars? Nah, definitely not. None of us had ever seen anything like it. It was then that, one by one, when reaching a certain point above heads, they vanished. Ellie and I squealed, giddy with our first ever UFO sighting. While we screeched with joy and wonder, our four children cried about an impending alien invasion. Sick of the chaos, my husband Jacob started Googling what we saw, insisting there must be a logical explanation. James, a Bigfoot enthusiast, also tried to settle the kids by saying, "No way it was aliens." How on earth you can doubt aliens but not Bigfoot is beyond me. Meanwhile, Ellie and I probably didn't help the situation by running around the cabin, not really knowing what to do with ourselves, but sure that we had witnessed something magical and mystical. Jacob then announced to the emotional car crash scene before him that he had all the answers. Everyone paused with bated breath, expecting an emergency announcement of alien life found in Norfolk. The next words out of his mouth shook me to my core. Elon Musk. No one said a word. No one could say a word as we processed the name. Elon Musk's Starlink satellite had passed over our heads and deceived us, resulting in the death of our extraterrestrial dreams and the ruination of my birthday. Thanks, Elon, an alien catfish for the ages. Despite being informed of the sad truth, or supposed truth, nothing will ever beat the adrenaline of shivering in the cold, in our knickers, watching what we knew at the time to be a UFO. My six-year-old, however, claims to know the real story. What we saw, apparently, was, in fact, a TARDIS.
Well, either way, you're not the first person to say Elon Musk ruined my birthday. I think we could just unanimously say that.
And you're also not the first person when met with Elon Musk, someone goes, an alien catfish for the ages.
He does look like an alien catfish with that belly, that frog's belly.
You told me you were a man and this is an alien catfish if I've ever seen one. Oh, truly, truly. This happened to a friend of ours, though. Texted me one night and was like, oh my God, what did I see in the sky? And then it was not until some Googling, we were like, it's Starlink.
It happens all the time. Yeah. And my theory is he did this on purpose. Mm-hmm. He designed this to where it would look like UFOs or something, a phenomena that people would, you know, talk about and stuff, either to trick people into thinking they're seeing things that they're really not, or he's working with them. He's one of them.
They're like, we need you to create a diversion. Send up them Starlinks. I do think it is, perhaps it started out as the first and ended with the second, because I do think it was probably for the lulls, as he would say, of like, what if we put it out there and then everyone thought it was aliens every time they flew? Make them fly like in a really weird straight line and then don't announce anything to anyone and let people panic on their own.
It's and the not the announcing. Yes. And it's like the middle of the night in Norfolk and you look up and see this. Anybody would think, well, here they come. They're finally visiting. Your kids weren't wrong.
No. I love the idea that it's a TARDIS, though. I would much rather it be a Time Lord from a Doctor Who coming to save us all than God knows what in an alien invasion. But truly, if you did not know that, you're out in the woods with your kids, like in your buddies on a staycation, and you're like, I'm just going to go look at the moon, and that shows up. Yeah, that's definitely like I would be screaming like, UFO, UFO.
Oh,
UFO.
For sure. Yeah. Absolutely. You're not alone. All of the videos of Starlink. And when it like comes out and it's all smoky and wispy, you motherfucker, Elon Musk, you knew what you were doing designing that.
You sneaky ass bastard. No, for sure. Well, I hope you do get to see a real UFO someday, Stevie. Just keep looking at the skies and keep staying out there where it's dark. And you're bound to see something for sure.
What wonderful friends to whisk you away to a woodland wonderland, you and your whole family. I love it.
And they come outside in their underwear without. I feel like you would be on the porch going, seeing the moon, and then I would run out in my panties like, what? You called. You said there was a UFO. I'm out here first. Because I do like this. TV's like, eventually when the men joined us, I'm like, yeah, because your bestie, the second you hear a UFO, you're like, bitch, there's a heather-shaped hole in the door. I'm just like, what's out here?
Damn, I would have been so pissed to find out it was Starlink, too.
Mm-mm. Not cool, Elon. That's why I need a cannon.
That's why. You know he has one. He's got several.
Sinister Hood will be right back. Well, this last one is from Zoe, and the subject line is, my father, true criminal with the biggest heart and a craving for Mexican food. Hey, Sinister Hood gang, patron, first-time writer, long-time listener, and huge fan of the podcast. I've grown up listening to you guys since around 2018 when I was 15. I'm 21 now. You guys got me through the end of high school, COVID times, you're helping me push through my undergraduate degree, and you'll still be there for my master's next year. You guys are the cool, creepy aunties I love listening to, and Heather encouraged me to study law, specifically legal philosophy. I could go on and on about praises forever, but let's get into it. When I heard about you guys asking for road rage stories, I immediately thought of my dad. Some of my most vivid childhood memories are of him, one, throwing my sister's ice cream at an asshole's window, and two, throwing a plastic frozen water bottle full of piss into another car. However, that's not what I'm here to talk about today. I labeled this as true crime, but it's not that serious. My dad is the true criminal. Nothing violent or harmful. Generally, all funsies. My dad is the craziest person I know, and I don't mean that as an exaggeration. He's got the most wild, charming ability with people that I think he was a psychopath if it wasn't for the fact that he's the most generous, lighthearted, and loving person I know who wouldn't hurt a fly. I genuinely don't know where to start telling stories about him and have hemmed and hawed at what I could say to you ladies for months. Should I talk about how one of the times he went to jail, he was so charming that he got three guards to come work for him at said shady business upon release? Or how about when he got gunned down in Venezuela because he flipped off the military guy? Or when he went skydiving for his 60th birthday and his parachute didn't open when it was supposed to? Did you know he can crack three eggs in one hand? Learned that one when he was the chef in jail. He's had a motorsports career my whole life, and I've gotten so used to him flipping a dozen times and catching on fire, but I always know he'll climb out of the car fine. Or should I write about when he was the leader of an incredibly successful, might I add, auto theft ring at the ripe age of 18? In order to dispose of one of said stolen cars, he lit the vehicle and himself on fire and spent about 9 months in the hospital. Or about how he used to be a drug mule when I was a kid, and that was why he was always on work trips. Anywho, my dad has never been a rule follower or been one to submit to authority, but he still manages to be the most happy-go-lucky, positive guy out there. I thought for the one story I'd tell you today, I would bring it right back to you ladies in the good old American state of Texas. One thing you should know about my dad is that he is totally and utterly oblivious. I don't think it's ever occurred to him other people perceive him when he's out and about. He consequently gets himself into a lot of sticky situations, so this is totally nothing new for him. One time, when he was visiting family in San Antonio, his sisters and cousins were all out at the mall. He was by himself, and he just decided he had a hankering for Mexican food. Not Tex-Mex that he could get anywhere he was, but he planned on crossing the border just to get some food. The only problem was he didn't have a car since he was just visiting. My dad has always and will always love sports cars, so he decided to rent one. In his mind, he was having a fun adventure, and part of the day was the car, so he splurged. We're Native American, but often get mistaken as Mexican, so his Pablo Escobar-looking ass pulled up to the border with absolutely nothing but his wallet, phone, and the keys to his rented vehicle. When the Border Patrol asked him why he was crossing, he deadass said to get some lunch. The Mexican border agent just kind of laughed and was like, okay, buddy, and let him through. So he had a lovely time in this border town, and he seriously just got some food. He said it was delicious. The same border agents were shocked seeing him actually pull back up less than an hour later trying to get back over. However, this time he was going through with the American border agents, who did not find it nearly as funny. They obviously thought my dad was painfully suspicious and pulled him out to question him. His badge-hating, back-talking son-of-a-bitch ass obviously started getting an attitude with them. They were giving him a hard time because he seriously didn't understand why a man couldn't get some goddamn authentic Mexican food on this beautiful day. They ended up searching the whole car and pulled him into the building to do a strip search of him. That's right, you correctly read that. They had him butt-naked, bent over, ass open, checking for little baggies and shit. Turns out, he genuinely was just some guy who rented a car because he wanted a filling and flavorful lunch. The agents apologetically let him get back into the country so he could go home to my cousin's house. I'm pretty sure he just went for a ride and didn't tell the family when he went home. He tells the story while busting a gut laughing and just thinks it's hilarious. He said he was never scared because he didn't have anything to hide and he wasn't lying. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this fun tale of relaying his best headlines and a tale from the great state of Texas. You ladies bring such a bright spot to my day, and I hope to hear my dad's story on the podcast someday. Keep it creepy, but not so creepy you piss off scary border agents. Lots of love, Zoe. P.S. Attached is a picture of me and my dad.
Oh my God. This man's trying to get a burrito.
I want to meet your dad. Dude. So bad.
Seriously.
This man has lived a life that most only dream of, and I need to hear more of his stories, all the stories that you mentioned. I would love to know more about all those.
For sure. This is the type that we're like hanging out with you at your dining table and your dad walks through and you're like, Daddy, what was that time? And he's like, oh yeah, da 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 da. And then you ask him another story and then he just pulls a chair up and we're all like, yes, he pulled a chair up.
Yes.
And then just start telling me them stories because that's amazing. I love that. But it takes a certain amount of like, what? I'm just going to get a sports car and drive to Mexico. Like,
right?
They can stop me. What do they? I have nothing to hide. Maybe they're going to dig around in my ass after I ate a bunch of Mexican food. Good luck. Godspeed.
With as much love and respect as this is meant, I could see you doing something like this.
100%.
I could see you being like, you know what? I want to go across the border. I'm just going to run a sports car. Let's splurge. Let's have a day of it. And just like, for me, that would be an all day thing to have to do. But it's like, let's go get this done. We're going across the border. We're back in 30 minutes. Great lunch. And then just like joyride after you got strip searched. Now that part, I think you would tell people, but the devil may care of like, let's go have an adventure is very on brand for you.
The fact that I was even compared a little bit to Zoe's dad is just the biggest compliment. It's like when someone once told me that I made him think of Ron Swanson and I was like, oh, really? It's because he puts that, when they ask him for a permit, he just hands him a paper. This is, I can do what I want, Ron, which is very Heather-ish. So being called Ron Swanson and being likened to Zoe's dad, I could not be more flattered. This guy is a badass motherfucker.
I got to know more about the frozen bottle of piss.
Dude,
because
please.
Was this something that he had on deck in the freezer? He's did like, you have these one. Stocked in the freezer? Was it like a frozen water bottle in the car? And he was like, this motherfucker won't stop tailing me. And so he just peed in it right there. Like, there's so many questions I have about that. Same with the ice cream cone.
Yeah.
I hope your sister got a second one after that.
He's like, we'll drive you back to TCBY. Don't worry about it. But it's like, I want to know, do you freeze it and you keep it in like a cooler in the car just in case? There's a lot of logistics, Zoe. Also, my bones turned to dust and I crumbled and blew away when you're like, I was just 15 when I started.
Oh,
now I'm going to get a master's
my God.
Degree. Fuck yeah. I love that. I love that for you.
When I read I Grew Up With You, I had to read it twice, and then I was like, oh my God, that math does math. 2018 was when we started. You were 15, and like sometimes it doesn't occur to me like how long we've been doing this. Recently, someone asked me like, when'd y'all start? And I was like, oh, May of 2018. And she said, oh, you've been doing this a long time. And I was like, yeah, I guess we have. But when you put it like this, that you were 15 and now you're 21, that hits different.
Yeah, I measure
it all.
But
I'm so glad we've been there with you. Thank you.
No, I do. I am very glad that we're a part of your life. And I'm glad in whatever way we could inspire you that we have. You're so badass, though, doing all these things on your own. I'm glad we can give you the laughs while we're in it. To do the math on the show, when you and I performed together, I remember the first time you were pregnant with Ella.
Yeah.
And then when we really started the show, she was like right about 6 months old.
6 months, yeah.
So any amount of old over 6 months, I'm like, that's how big the podcast is Ella. That's how big it is. She's right there.
Yep. She's a visual reminder
she
of how
is.
Long we've been
like,
doing this.
The podcast
truly.
Is about yay high and is about 6 years old now.
Yeah.
It's, but saying I was 15, I love it. And just for all you 15-year-olds that might be listening, look at that. Life gets better. You get to do amazing things. You're going to go on. You'll pass. Hopefully we won't have another fucking pandemic, but we can get over things together. And then you move on and now master's degree and on and onward and upward, my dear Zoe, and with a badass dad by your side.
Dude, I mean, I love that you were like, that's just dad. But then he has this kind, generous persona. It wouldn't hurt a fly. He will chunk a bottle of frozen piss at your window, though, if you try to cut him off in traffic. But he's so charming that you can convince the jail guards to come work for you. Dude, that's an elite personality trait that he possesses.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, and if you tell me your dad threw a bottle of frozen piss out the window, my question is like, what did the guy do?
Yeah.
They obviously
he deserved
something.
It,
yeah,
for sure. 100%.
For sure. Your dad's a man for justice, regardless of the laws. But I love this.
I'm just, respectfully, Zoe, your dad's kind of hot. I'm just going to put it out there. This is a very good picture of the two of you.
I was going to say Zoe, dad, Zaddy, but also just Zaddy. Sorry. So sorry.
Zoe, you're gorgeous as well. I
you're
love
perfect.
This is a great picture. It looks like you were at some kind of Hawaiian wedding or something. But yeah, all the other stories, we would love to hear them about your dad.
He seems like a badass.
Thank you so much for sending this one in. And thank you to everybody who sent in your Freaky Friday stories today. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO. Not Elon Musk's UFO. Or maybe you have seen that one. You can still send that in.
He's shot a cannon at it.
We'll dedicate a whole show to just hating Elon Musk. You had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being. Send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 900 hours of segments like Dear Sinister, Judge Christie, True Crime Headlines, a lot of different Reddit stuff, the Asshole, Unpopular Opinion. You're just shaking your head with a smirk because we're recording some bonus content right after this, and I have a feeling we got some good ones on deck.
There are some good ones on deck, but today I just want to say, if you want to join our Patreon, check out the bonus content. Not only will you be entertained, but we have a very educational piece of content that just dropped a couple days ago, and it is a relationship advice segment that Tommy has a little guest cameo in, and also yes. We all learn the definition of a new word. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell you what the word is or the definition. You have to go over there yourself. But part of that bonus content is what you get when you sign up. You get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content, the weekly audio bonuses like this educational piece that you can listen to now, monthly minisodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet. We have two live streams coming up next week.
Yeah.
To celebrate Halloween on October 29th at 8 p.m. Central, we're going to have our monthly Q&A. We're going to wear our costumes, TBD on what those are. We're going to do some sort of a treat taste test. I have some ideas, but I'll have some treats lined up. And it's the night before our movie watching live stream, which is October 30th, 8 p.m. Hang out with us. We're going to watch a movie together. Cocaine Werewolf so far has been in the lead, but we'll see. Voting ends on my birthday, so vote now.
Oh, where can people go if they want to watch it and also vote? Because the movie roasting party is open to everybody.
Yes.
Even free members on our tier. We like to do this once or twice a year just as a thank you to everybody for showing support in all the various ways that you do. So you can go to our Patreon, sign up for free, just become a free member and have access to vote and then also watch this. You also can do free trials.
That's right. Free trials is where you join for free for a week at any level. Check out the perks and cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. But now is the best time to sign up for our Patreon from now until Halloween. It's your last chance. We're giving 2 months free on any annual Patreon membership. This deal is both for new members, so tell your friends, and current monthly members who want to switch to an annual subscription. It's the best deal we have offered on our Patreon. It's 16% off. It's equivalent to 2 months free. Lock in that price for the best price on a yearly membership. Only available to new annual memberships. Current annual memberships are not eligible for the discount. And the offer ends October 31st, so don't miss out.
It's a good day to remember things. Not only that, but also that's the last day you can watch the Texas Theater Full Moon Energy performance on moment.co/sinisterhood. So be sure to check that out as well.
Definitely. And make sure you link your Patreon with Moment, because when you do that, you can add on the after party, which is a live Q&A we did. We had great questions from the chat, great questions from those who were present. So if you're a Patreon member, you just get that for free. So make sure you add that so you watch not only the whole show, but also the whole after party too.
Yeah, on demand. We had a lot of fun in that. And you get the exclusive Moment only Man Bat t-shirt. Hell and yeah. It is exquisite. It's an incredible design that we're quite proud of. And if you've seen the show, you know, you want to represent him in all his glory. So you gotta sport the swag for sure.
Yeah, go to moment.co/sinisterhood for all that. You can also head to sinisterhood.com and click on shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. And don't forget, now through October 31st, all merch that's purchased at sinisterhood.com/shop. The proceeds, we're going to donate those to Hurricane Helene and Milton Relief Funds, and we're also matching those proceeds. So go buy what you want, what you've been waiting on, some Christmas gifts. Wonderful. I have a beanie hat on right now. Yeah, Sinisterhood beanie.
Love it.
Any number of things. You can use your Patreon merch discount, and the proceeds will get donated.
I was going to say that annual memberships for the Sinisterhood fan in your life is another great holiday gift. This is the time to get it too, because Sweet 16, 16% off. So it's like you get a present for yourself too because you're saving money. That's right. How I do math. While you're on our website, you can also review the show, follow us on socials, and check out the episode description. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and links to the moment.co/sinisterhood show.
Go to follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. You can watch full episodes of our Wednesday episodes on YouTube. They're ad-free on Patreon. And you can watch clips of the show on TikTok and order a custom video shout-out for yourself of us from Cameo. It can be a personal shout out to you. It can be a gift shout out to a fan in your life that you know loves Sinisterhood. But we love to dress up if we have items. McGruff might be in it, a popple, a guinea pig. Who knows?
There's so many animals that so can make animals. An appearance. Some I don't even know about. Sometimes they just show up in the backyard.
There's a possum. Now it's in it. But yeah, go to cameo.com/sinisterhood to order those. Christy, where can people find you online?
I am on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Sinisterhood.